Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 167 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am excited to bring you my interview with Joel Garcia from Teddy's Barbecue in West Laco, Texas. In September, he recently opened that up with his brother. This has been about 6 months in the making. Our interview, as well as his journey, is much longer. It's interesting. I don't want to give too much away because it's an interesting journey if you don't know about it. But he went from going to Texas A&M to working in government in Austin, to working at a barbecue spot in H-E-B, to Friedman's with Evan Leroy, to Terry Black's, to Smoke and Moon Barbecue, which made the Texas Monthly top 25 new barbecue joints list while he was there, to now Teddy's. And we learned all about Teddy's, and he's sticking to his roots with Central Texas style, not diverging that much outside of Central Texas style. So if you're in and around West Laco, if you're going down there, he's definitely made it a reason to go down there. If you haven't been down there, it is south. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but I can't thank him enough. He and his brother are putting out great, great barbecue. It's been a long time in the making for them, but I'm super excited for them. They're open Thursday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to sold out. You got to check them out. Hope you enjoy this. Thanks, Joel, for taking the time. And if you're digging these, you should subscribe. I do at least two of these per week, trying to get as much content to you guys as possible. If you're just listening to the podcast, I have a YouTube version of this, as well as tons more YouTube content at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, barbecue joint visits, butcher shops, tons of cool stuff, content, list of barbecue pop-ups in Los Angeles and Texas. Definitely worth it. For social media, Kevin's BBQ Joints, you can follow me on all those guys. But at the end, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate it. Give me feedback if you want. Let me know if there's anybody you want me to chat with. Have a great week. Well, good afternoon. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
So you said you just put out some briskets. How many briskets are you guys doing right now?
Right now we're doing maybe like 5-6 briskets a day. So we're not going through a whole ton. Where you're mostly just open for lunch, like 11 o'clock to 4.
So, the
lunch crowd that comes in is mostly between 11 and 2-ish.
Okay.
We're not pumping out a whole ton of volume. We also don't have the capacity to pump out a whole ton of volume just yet.
Gotcha.
That's part of the reason that we only do about 5-6 a day. So it's about a case of brisket.
Let's jump back a little bit. Where did you grow up?
I grew up here in West Laco, which is in the River Grande Valley. And if you don't know where that is, it's like the tip of Texas, like the southernmost tip of Texas. Like you think about like where Mexico is, like that's where we are.
Yeah, like when you Google map it, like it looks like it's essentially like part of Mexico, Texas. It's like
Yeah. So I mean, like we're literally maybe like 5-10 minutes from the border from where we're at right now.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so we're super close. And I grew up down here.
What's the city like?
The city is maybe about 100-150,000 people. Very vast, you know what I mean? Like there's still a lot of crop fields and stuff like that around town. We've got a couple of high schools and you know, it's not super huge. Some people would still consider this kind of a small town.
I think across the United States, that'd be considered a small town, but there are places that you are, it's not, like, there's places that have, like, 30,000 people.
Yeah.
Is it growing? So has it changed a lot since you grew up there?
So, I mean, I left for college in, like, 2009, and we didn't come back until last year. So in the 10 years that we were gone, it grew like crazy. I mean, the population just blew up. I mean, it's one of the fastest growing regions in the state, other than, you know, the Houston's and Dallas.
So if you were in Houston, how far away are you from Houston?
From Houston, it's about 5-6 hours.
5-6 hours. And from Austin, it's...
Yeah, about another 5-6 hours.
If you're going to visit Teddy's, you want to go to Houston, probably. If you're coming from somewhere outside of the state.
Yeah, you want to probably go through Houston. It's a very boring drive. I'm not gonna say it's like, you know, awesome, like sightseeing and stuff. But there is some stops along the coast that you can make. You know, you could stop it in Corpus or even if you're traveling down here, you can, you know, go to South Padre while you're here.
Yeah, which are huge destinations for people. And how far away is Corpus?
Corpus is about an hour and a half. We go up there about once a month to pick up our wood.
Oh, that's where you get your wood?
Yeah, that's where we get our wood.
Were you eating a lot of barbecue? What was the tradition of barbecue in your town?
So like barbecue down here in the valley is different. Like, I mean, they've always had barbecue, you know, but the definition of barbecue is different everywhere you go.
For sure.
Like, you know, up in the northeast, I want to say it's like burgers and hot dogs. Down here in Texas, it's brisket. in, you know, Carolinas you find whole hog, but down here in the valley it's all just like about grilling, mostly like, you know, fajitas, chicken, sausage, you know, mostly direct heat cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been like they've never been too big on the brisket or anything like that.
Was there anywhere you even got like a chopped beef sandwich, or is that not even?
We've always had like Rudy's. We've always had a couple places that did cook brisket, but like I said, it was always cooked over direct heat.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, I still remember my dad cooking brisket, and he would literally start a fire in a little pit and sear the brisket off and wrap it in foil, and then just like let it go until it was tender.
Yeah, that's kind of like, that's almost like anybody's tradition of like baking brisket. Like,
yeah,
I grew up, I didn't have Texas style brisket. I just had my mom or my grandma would bake brisket, and it was good and it fell apart, but it's different.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what kind of with what grew up, we grew up here, and it was always also like a lot of like open fire cooking. Like, you know, I remember my dad always making cabritos and like, you know, whole animals and pigs and stuff like that.
So it was a tradition. Food cooking was, live fire cooking was part of your family.
Yeah. It was always, we were always cooking for a special occasion, even if there wasn't a special occasion, you know.
I think to me, it's like I'm having ribeyes tonight. It's just, you just have to do it. You have to.
Yeah.
So then you went to school. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at A&M in College Station.
Okay.
After I moved up there, I was there like 2009 to like 2012-ish. Graduated and moved to Austin afterwards.
Did you even know about the meat science division? Like, did you know about that department? Or
No. I wish I would have. I would have changed my major. You know,
I wish I knew. I would have gone. I would have gone to Texas A&M if I knew
about it. I actually studied environmental science while I was there. And I never even knew that the meat science guys were there. I always knew about the like little meat shop they have there where they sell like jerky and stuff. And I went in there a couple times, but I didn't know that they were actually butchering stuff like in house and selling it. Like,
yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even know they had a jerky place. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Wow. So then when you went to Austin, were you doing something with your degree?
I started an internship at the Texas Capitol. I was working in a political office.
How was that?
It was okay. I was working for a state representative. Meanwhile, I was there. We had a subscription to Texas Monthly, and in May of 2013, we got the top 50 list.
Okay.
So that's kind of where like my interest in like exploring barbecue kind of started.
Living in Austin, it was still early in the kind of like the golden era of barbecue that exists now. But did you try any places like before you got that list? Did you go out and explore any barbecue, or was it the list that made you?
Not really. It was mostly the list that I remember that kind of pushed me to go find these places that they put on the list that were in Austin. We had, you know, lobbyists would buy us food all the time and stuff like that. And sometimes they would bring in Franklin or different places like La Barbecue and stuff like that. And I knew about these places, but I just never had gone out to try them. So when that list came out, there was a few places on there that I didn't know about or I hadn't tried. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go check them out. You know, they're in Austin. While I'm here, you know, I'll go see what they're about. And then that kind of grew into like an obsession of, I'm going to go check out like the places in East Texas and like the places in like West Texas.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome.
Came down to the valley, and there was a few places that were on there as well, you know, like Vetta's in Brownsville.
Oh, wow. Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it grew from there, like that obsession and passion. I kind of did a little bit of cooking in college. I had a little tiny pit that I would cook ribs and chicken on and stuff like that. And just barbecue for like tailgates. But yeah. It wasn't like I was cooking briskets or anything.
What was the first place that you remember that you had like an aha moment with barbecue, or that it was special?
It was the La Barbecue, like South First, like trailer days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I still remember like
John Lewis was probably cooking there. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, John Lewis was still there, and I was there like every Saturday. Like, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was really good barbecue that they were pumping out. They always had a band. They always had like a keg.
Lone Star.
So it was just a good time. So I remember those days when they were on South First.
That lot was a cool lot. And across the way was Gordo's. I think
yeah.
Donuts, and yeah, I think it was just, that's a cool, that was a cool location.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's cool. Yeah, so you had right there a taste of what really good barbecue is.
Yeah, that was like my first kind of experience of and then from there, you know, I went to Snow's. I had to try, Louis Mueller, all the places that were
Yeah.
around surrounding area. I went to Lockhart a few times. I even went back to College Station because I found Fargo's was on that list,
Oh,
on that
that's
top
true.
50 list. Yeah, so I went back to College Station for a couple football games, and I had to go to Fargo's, and I mean it was great.
But then going from working in politics to what sparked you to go work at a rest? Did you want to work at a restaurant, or did you think I'm gonna open my own place someday, or?
No, it was always, I mean, even when I was in college, I was working a couple jobs, and two of them were in restaurants.
Okay.
So I had some previous experience, and I was at a point in my life where I was like not really happy with what I was doing. So my wife was like, why don't you try to get something part-time where you explore this interest. So my first job was at a cafe inside of an HEB.
Oh.
It's Cafe Mueller, and it's right off the highway in Austin. It's a big HEB. It used to be where the Mueller Airport was in Austin.
Not connected to any of the Mueller clan.
No, but it was inside an HEB, and they were looking for barbecue cooks, and I applied and got the job, and we were cooking really good stuff. I mean, that I remember, it was around 2015-ish that we were doing that, and we were cooking on an all hickory, it was a rotisserie, but still using post oak. We were using like natural, like prime grade
You
briskets.
could I like I've cooked with one, and I've been and worked in a restaurant where they did, and you can make good brisket and
Yeah,
good
for sure.
barbecue if you pay
Yeah.
attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, these guys, I mean, we had a chef who's like really well known in the Houston area, who had just taken over as like culinary director for like HEB, and his name's Randy Evans. And
Oh yeah, I've heard that name, yeah.
yeah. So he was the one kind of overseeing the operation, and it was kind of like the pilot program, because like in the coming years they launched what they call now, I think it's True Texas Barbecue, and they're in HEBs like all over San Antonio, Houston. Like I think Daniel Juan just named them like the best chain and like
No, I remember seeing
famous barbecue
that,
chain in Texas or something like that. But that was kind of like the pilot where I was working at, like the first one.
That's cool. You were there like the early days. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was that. I look back at it and I was like, man, that's crazy. But yeah, I still remember working with Chef Randy, and I met a few people there that went on and worked, some really good jobs and still do. I think Zach. He's one of like the main cutters at Franklin.
Oh wow.
He worked with me there at Cafe Mueller
Well, that's
for a
cool.
few months, and he had a lot of like previous experience from working at Rudy's and stuff. And he was like, I'm gonna apply at Franklin. I still remember him and I talking about it. And he's like, I'm gonna get this job, and he's still there, and it's pretty awesome.
That's rad. That's really cool.
When he left, I was like, you know what? I think I want to pursue, working like in a craft joint. So I went off and applied at Friedman's.
Okay.
Yeah, when Evan was still there, and he was still the pit master.
How many
So
people are connected to Ed? So you work with Evan, right?
yeah, so I worked with Evan for about 6, 7 months. Evan was there.
It's funny how a lot of people like it really is interesting how many people have touched either have worked with him or have come and staged with him either at Friedman's or at Leroy Lewis. That's amazing.
Yeah. He was always real open about teaching everybody. I mean, he's a great guy.
I didn't know that facet of the story. I'm glad I didn't pay attention to the Tales for the Pits
Yeah.
interview.
So I left Cafe Mueller, and I sent a message to Evan. I think it was around South by Southwest time, and I thought he had forgotten about me, but luckily he responded to me, and he was like, you can come on and work. And I met a bunch of guys there that went on and worked at a bunch of, are still working in a bunch of great joints. Lane, who's part of like the Goldie's guys, Chris, who works at the Switch.
Oh yeah. I just saw him on a video last night.
Yeah. Brad, who still works with Evan, does all his sausage and pit making and all that. So it was crazy how much talent like was at Friedman's at that time.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I worked with all those guys. I got to work with a bunch of people that I'm really glad that I met there. While I was at Freedom. While we were there, I mean, this was 2016-ish. While we were there, I guess there was like the new list was starting to come out, the 2017.
Yeah.
And Friedman's got to make the list. That was cool, the top 50 list.
So that way you kind of got an idea of the power of it from the inside out, right?
Yeah. So I mean, it was cool trying and like, you know, being a part of that and you know, just learning from all those guys while I was there. I think I left there in like May of like 2017. Mm-hmm. My wife was about to just have our son. So that's part of the reason why I left, because I was about to take like 3 months of paternity leave for my job.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so because at this whole time, barbecue was just kind of part time. I still had an office job, you know, still working politics and doing all that, but 8 to 5 and then 5 to, you know, 10, sometimes midnight, I was working at the barbecue joint.
Wow, hustling like crazy.
Yeah, so I did that for the time that I was at Cafe Mueller, for the time that I was at Friedman's, and then I kind of just stepped away because it was getting kind of heavy, and I was like, I want to spend more time at home. In 2017, June, when my wife had our son, I had paternity leave, like I said, and I was cooking a lot. I had a backyard smoker, and
you did like a 250 or something? Or?
Yeah, I had a 250. What I would do is every now and then I would just set up in my driveway and just let my neighbors know that I'm gonna have barbecue.
That's cool.
Dates and you know. I would advertise on the local groups and stuff like that and let people know. And they would show up and we would cook like 2 or 3 briskets. But
that's good practice, great practice for doing it on your own.
Yeah. During that time, I had a lot of time to think, you know, like I think I want to do this, you know, full time. So I went back to my job and I was there maybe like another 2 months before I kind of just let them know, like, hey, I'm not going to come back. I had secured a job with Terry Black's. Working for them, I was supposed to work the overnight shift. So I worked the overnight shift with them. I think it was about 9 or 10 months.
Okay. How crazy is their volume?
It's insane. I mean, last time I talked with those guys, they were cooking like 230 briskets on Fridays, hundreds of racks of ribs. While I was there, I mean, we were cooking, you know, 90 racks of ribs, 100 racks of ribs on Friday, Saturdays sometimes. Every night we would fill up the pit with like 45 racks of beef ribs. You know, it was crazy numbers. Wow. I'm pretty sure it's gone up by now. So
I was talking to someone recently, someone from Adamson Barbecue in Toronto, and he was saying that when they came and visited, that was sort of the way that Terry Black's is set up is how they ended up setting up their restaurant at the end because the efficiency.
It's super efficient. I mean, you don't wait more than, I want to say maybe 20, 30 minutes in that line. You know, they got 3 cutters and the thing is that, you know, they got 200 briskets to get rid of. So they got to get people through.
Do you think they're getting a lot of convention business? I always wondered like, how are they getting that going?
So the 230 briskets or so is not all stuff that they sell at the restaurant. It's sometimes, you know, pre-orders, caterings, that's all counted in that.
True.
I think what I remember them selling in the actual restaurant was around like 120, 100.
That's a good amount, though. That's a great amount.
Yeah. So it's still, I mean, well, they're open like 11 to like, you know, 8, 10 o'clock at night.
So you learned a lot about big time volume there.
I learned a lot about different things there, you know, cooking volume, fire management, you know, choosing wood, stuff like that. Stuff that I didn't get to learn at Friedman's because Friedman's was like very much like a craft style joint, mm-hmm. you know, 20, 30 briskets, like on a Thursday, Friday. We were still open, I think, 6 days a week, but it was never crazy volume that we were pumping out. But when I went over there, you know, I learned, you know, they teach you, you know, everything has to still be consistent. Everything mm-hmm. still has to be really great. But we're gonna cook a whole lot of it,
and a lot of sides. They must go through so much. Like, and that also, like, that whoever's ordering for that restaurant, that's like an amazing feat.
Yeah. Well, that was part of our responsibilities as well when we were there during the week. Is taking all those orders and organizing it all in the walk-in and everything. I mean, we got orders, I think, like 3 or 4 times a week. Like,
wow.
Yeah. I think we got brisket pretty much almost every day because they were going through, you know, 50, 60 cases every day.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Breaking that down, trimming it, gosh, that's just a lot. Did you go to Smoke and Moon? Is that your next stop from there?
Yeah, Smoke and Moon was my next stop after Terry Black's. So I left Terry Black's in June of 2018. We sold our home in Manor because we wanted to move back home and be close to our parents. Because
makes sense.
We just had our son, so we wanted him to be close by. That drive to Austin, you know, was kind of hurting them. So we moved back here, and initially the plan was just to come down here and open Teddy's because that's what we had been working on for the past couple of years. You know, because while I was at Terry Black's, I was doing pop-ups down here in the Valley under the name Teddy's Barbecue.
Oh, with your brother?
Yeah, with my brother, yeah, who co-owns the place with me. He was down here already because he was up there with me for a while. I was at Friedman's going to culinary school and stuff, but he graduated, moved back, did an externship, and kept working with the same fine dining restaurant that he was working with.
Oh.
But yeah, like I said, while I was at Terry Black's, I was doing pop-ups. So I would work there like Friday night to like Tuesday morning. And then like Tuesday morning, I would just like, you know, haul it down here, pit and everything, and cook on Wednesday. And then we would serve at like a little street festival here in Wesico on Thursday. And then Friday morning, I would just head back to Austin to work Friday night at Terry Black's. So I was, you know, doing barbecue like 7 days a week.
That is craziness.
3, 6 months or something like that. I don't know how much it was.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's part of the reason that we moved back, because we wanted to open up a Central Texas style joint in our hometown.
Yeah, which it's in need of. Yeah.
I guess, I don't know, maybe the timing wasn't right. The landowner here where we're at right now, last year in June, like the whole town flooded. So he was going through some issues at home with his home flooded. So he wasn't ready to lease the place to us just yet because he still wanted to make some upgrades to it and stuff like that. So that's kind of what held us back last year from opening.
Gotcha.
But luckily in July, I got a call from a guy and said, "Hey man, I'm trying to open a barbecue joint." And I said, "No way, man, so am I." But it was the owner of Smoking Moon, and he had heard that I had moved back down, and he had heard a little bit about my resume and who I'd work with and where I worked. He, you know, he said, you know, "Come meet me in my restaurant. I want to show you what we're planning on doing." And it was great. I mean, I thought about it a lot. You know, I was kind of, you know, a little bit weary about jumping in because it was like I was going to train, you know, people who competing with in the future. But I went ahead and did it anyways. I thought that the Valley was in need of a good barbecue joint in the meantime while we weren't ready to open our own. So I took on the job, and initially I think I was kind of supposed to be like a consultant, like show people, you know, this is how you use the oiler, this is how you cook brisket, this is how you cook ribs, all that. But it ended up being I was the pitmaster. I was there all the time, you know, 4 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day for the first like 3 or 4 months.
That's what I had heard.
Yeah, so I was there a lot, and we were pumping out good barbecue. Daniel Vaughn showed up within like the first month and a half that we were open, and it was really nerve-wracking, like when I first saw him, because I was like, this is like the only impression we get to make on him, because he is not going to come back here.
No.
Like, soon. He noticed right away like a few things that were wrong. One of our warmers was set like too hot, because the cutters that I had were just people that hadn't worked in the industry before, didn't know like settings and how stuff's supposed to be held and stuff like that. So yeah, he noticed right away something that was wrong, but he was really impressed with the beef rib and the quality of the barbecue that we were pumping out, even though we were like a really young joint.
Did he recognize you from your other locations, or did he not know of you that way?
No, I had only met him like once previously, and it was at Camp Brisket. I was there with Evan in like 2017.
Gotcha.
Before he had set up his truck, and they had invited him to like come serve dinner, so I helped him with that.
Gotcha.
And that's the first time I met Daniel Vaughn. But I don't think he remembered me from, you know, 2 years later.
Yeah, and associated you with Will Oskar.
That was the second time that I saw him, and I recognized him right away, and people were like, I was like panicking, and people were like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, Stan, like, this is like the only impression we get to make on this guy. Like, you know, we have to serve him the best stuff. Like, get out of the way, I'm going to cut, you know? It was great, and, you know, we got to chat with him a little bit after he ate, and we showed him a sandwich that we had been working on. It was just like a brisket and chili, like jalapeno sandwich, and he was really happy with it. And he's like, I was like, well, can you help us name it? And he helped us name it and everything. And we put it on the menu, and it's still on the menu there. I think at Smoking Moon.
What's it called?
El Chile Sueño.
Oh, Chile Sueño. Okay.
Yeah, because he was like, I could take a nap after eating this brisket sandwich.
That's, you know, cool.
So it's like the chili dream. So.
Did he come back again before you guys got listed on the 25 new spot?
I never saw him come back in the restaurant. I don't know if anyone else from Texas Monthly came by.
They might have.
But, you know, when the top 25 list came out, it was insane. Like, we were just like, wow. Like, it was crazy to think, like, that one time that he came had made so much of an impression on him. That he put us on this list with all these, you know, with Leroy and Lewis, Fiji's Barbecue, like
Laura.
Everyone that we look up to.
Yeah.
Like, and we were on that list with them. I mean, it was crazy.
Because of where you were located, was there a bump in the business?
There was a slight bump. There was people coming in, you know, from Dallas, like Houston, like places, you know, that are like nearby that they could get to. Like, you know, there was a few people that noticed. We put a big banner outside that said top 25, and people didn't believe us. But yeah, you know, they came out on the magazine and showed everybody, and it was cool. As far as like a crazy bump in business, I don't think we saw that. I mean, it was always pretty steady. That's a good part. For the time that I was there before I left this past July, we were always kind of busy.
And so, was he prepared for you in July to leave? Did he know you? He knew you wanted to open up Teddy's, right?
Yeah. So they knew that we were planning to open this place up. We had a catering operation in the meantime, while we were getting ready to take over this place. And my brother would kind of just run that by himself. He would, you know, if it was 80, 100 people or whatever, he would manage.
Yeah.
But I stayed at Smoking Moon the whole time. I left there mid-July. There was like kind of a misunderstanding. I don't want to get into it.
I don't want you to either. I'm talking about Teddy's. Yeah.
I left there and on good terms, but I don't know that they were exactly ready. You know what I mean? I would hope that the quality stayed the same. I haven't been back since I left. So. I'm not sure. I can tell you, you know, but I think they're still sourcing good wood, good beef. So,
so why shouldn't they? Yeah.
Oilers, so, yeah. Yeah. They're using oilers. So, I mean, it's not, I don't want to say like, it's not hard to cook barbecue on an oiler, but they know the process. Mm-hmm. They have people that were there and training under me. So I'm sure they're okay.
For sure. It's not like you left them with like 2000 gallon pits to try to maintain and deal with. Yeah. Like, kids off the street or something like that. So let's talk about Teddy. So how excited are you for this, and how exciting was it when you first opened? And how did you guys do from July, mid-July, did you have to refurbish the building? And
Yeah. So it was turned over to us in kind of okay condition. It was already a barbecue joint.
Oh.
So previously. So we didn't have a whole lot to do to it, but we did make a few upgrades, you know, painted walls and redid the tables. And we had already like kind of acquired equipment over the years. Every time we did a pop-up, you know, if we made a little bit of money, we would kind of just reinvest it.
Smart.
We would buy, you know, a warmer, or we'd buy a fridge, or we would buy this or that, and put it away in storage. So, because the end goal was always a restaurant.
Yeah.
When we were ready to move in here, it was kind of like, all right, let's fix the place up a little bit and let's move everything in. So it was kind of an easy transition. A few things that held us back were just like plumbing and stuff that we didn't expect that we needed to do.
Which always happens, right?
Yeah. Something always pops up. So
when was your official grand opening then?
Our opening, I think it was September 19th. So we're only open like Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
We opened on a Thursday, September 19th, and you know we didn't do a whole lot of advertising or anything. We had put on our little like reader board outside that we were going to be open. We had been doing like pop-ups in the parking lot like prior to opening, so people would know
That's
that
fun.
We were here, and we could tell like people like, hey, we're going to open in the next month or next couple weeks and stuff like that. So Saturdays we would have, you know, brisket, beef ribs, all that stuff, and we were selling out by like 2 o'clock. So it kind of built some hype, and by the time we were ready to open, we already had people in the door. Like, it wasn't hard to get people in here.
Are you serving essentially what you were serving over at Smoke and Moon, or do you have what's your menu?
So we have, you know, the Central Texas standards. We have, you know, brisket, pork ribs, turkey. We make chicken and pulled pork, and then we also make our own sausage. So one of the
awesome.
Sausages that's like unique is a chile piquin sausage.
Okay, what's
which,
that?
Like, chile piquin is like a native chili mm-hmm. down here in South Texas. It's tiny, tiny little chili, but it's like 10 times hotter than a jalapeno. Or
oh,
something
really?
Like that.
Nice.
So, yeah. Well, we use the dried chili, so they're not like super spicy. We use them mostly for color and they give kind of like a mild flavor to the sausage. It's one of the things that it was important to us to do, like when we first started, because Smoke and Moon, we weren't doing that. We were making burgers with scraps, so we were still reusing everything that we were trimming.
Yeah.
But here, we don't have a way to make burgers and all that, so we were like, let's make our own sausage.
So how many sausages did you have? That one, you have that standard one, right?
Yeah, we have just a regular beef and pork. We have a jalapeno cheddar, and then we have chile piquin. And then on Saturdays, we sell beef ribs.
Okay.
Yeah, and then sides, as far as sides, we do a mac and cheese we call Bernie Mac, named after my wife. And then we do cream corn, we do pinto beans, kind of like a brisket bean.
Okay.
And then we have just a standard like mustard potato salad.
And then I saw some really interesting dessert. Oh, I saw the banana pudding looked awesome.
Yeah. So my sister, she has like a little side business. Her name's Rosie. So her business, Rosita's Sweets and Treats, and she makes cookies and cakes and all that. So she started making us some cakes, and one of the cakes she makes is a banana pudding cake.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was a cake.
Yeah. So it's a banana pudding cake. It's got buttercream, like homemade whipped cream, and it's got Nilla wafers, and it's layered. So it's got banana pudding in the middle with bananas, and then whipped cream, and it's got little, I think, crumbled wafers like around. So you know, you get like the whole like banana pudding experience, but in a cake.
That's awesome. That sounds so good. That sounds perfect. And is that every day?
Yeah. So yes, I think we introduced it like last week, and it sold out like really quick.
Of course, it looked like it would.
So this week we're trying to have it every day. So she's gonna bake a few cakes for us.
That's cool. That'll be a good. How great would that be too if her business blew up because of this?
Yeah. So that's kind of why we're doing it. So you know, help each other out. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And she's a manager at a bakery right now, but she does it outside, and she. I mean, she loves doing it.
Being so close to Mexico and being that Tex-Mex that's always been a thing, but it's like, it's a thing now. Like, do you have anything, or are you sticking to more of a Central Texas style menu?
So, yeah, no, we don't really have, like, Tex-Mex inspired dishes. There's people that come in here all the time and ask, do you have rice, or like, do you have tortillas, or, you know, stuff like that, but we're kind of trying to stick, to, like, a Central Texas style menu right now. Obviously, like, Mexican cooking has an influence on like what we do and like how we cook. The glaze on our pork ribs, like, we make it with like piloncillo, which is like a Mexican like raw sugar. So you know, and a few touches here and there on the beans that my brother does, that you know we grew up doing and cooking with our grandma. So we're trying to keep it kind of, you know, Central Texas inspired.
To be honest, I think that's smarter. I think that's a bet.
Yeah, because we don't want to, we're not trying to be like everybody else down here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the part of the reason that we brought this concept down here was because we saw that there was a need for it, and there was nobody really doing what we're doing now. I mean, other than Smoke and Moon, that. But even then, you know.
You're different. You're different, yep. And it's and also too your acumen, your the credentials that you have, and the experience that you have, what you're bringing. You know what you want to produce.
Yeah.
It's really important. I think it's really important. Well, it's inspiring too, because I think that you're not being swayed by anything. And also people are breaking dishes in the background, correct or no? did it sound like that? At one point it sounded like this. Yeah. So are you enjoying it? Are you excited?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm really like exhausted by the end of the week, but you know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And that's really what's important to me. I used to always stress to my wife, like, work-life balance. Like, and now I kind of feel like I kind of have that now that I'm on my own. Because before, I was kind of feeling a little too stressed, a little too, like, married to my job. Like, and it kind of felt like I was kind of just working. I mean, working for someone else is always hard. When you're working on your own, you know, you kind of feel like you can work in your own pace and,
for sure.
And do stuff for yourself, and it feels better. So,
why is it called Teddy's?
It's named after my son. So our my middle name and his middle name is Eduardo.
Okay.
I looked up a couple like different nicknames for Ed, and one of them was Ted. So, I thought about the name, and I was like, you know, when people think of Rudy's, they never have to say barbecue, like when they're talking about Rudy's. And I kind of thought about that name, and I was like, you know, I kind of want Teddy's, like to be that. I want Teddy's.
Like I'm gonna head over to Teddy's, and they know yeah. You're going to get barbecue.
They already know that they're going to get barbecue. Yeah.
So. That's smart. The hours again, 11 is when you open?
Yeah, we open at 11. We go until we sell out. And if we don't sell out, we're usually done by like 4 or 5 o'clock.
And is there seating indoors and outdoors?
Yeah, just seating indoors. We have about 50 seats inside, so it's a pretty small place. But, I mean, it gets packed in here every day that we're open.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, because that's good to have indoor seating, because especially as it gets back into spring.
Yeah, so. It's still like 90-something degrees down here right now, so... We don't want to be outside.
It's like perpetual summer for, yeah. It's almost like the same weather as Los Angeles. Like, we have, like, 6 days where it's cooler.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think even in December, it's still probably only, like, 70 degrees out here.
Well, is there anything else that people should know about you guys or your, or what your, or the restaurant itself? Is there anything that we miss at all?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I didn't really talk about my brother, but my brother helps us a lot. Like, you know, he, culinary school graduate, like, he worked at a couple different fine dining places, and he also helped me while we were at Smoke and Moon. I couldn't do it without him. You know, he was one of kind of like our main cutters over there.
Who's cutting now? Are you cutting now, or you guys switch it off?
I'm cutting mostly, and then my brother cooks most of the sides and helps us with the ribs and everything. But as far as brisket, I'm doing it all, because he still has another job that he does like Monday through Wednesday.
Okay.
And then he's been here like Thursday through Sunday. So he's hustling now.
Yeah. But it's nice. And like this, it sounds like this is going to be like if you guys are full to capacity and you're going through the proper amount of food, and then as you graduate, what kind of smoker are you guys using now?
We're using an offset. So we have a 250 we bought out in Lockhart. And then we also have a 1,000 gallon that we bought from Terry Black's.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of the cool things. When I was there, they were getting rid of a few pits and moving in some new ones. And I said, well, can I buy one of these off of you?
Nice. Okay, no, nice.
And they gave it to me at a good price. And I took some money out of, I had that office job, so I had some like retirement money put away, and I took it out, and I was like, I'm going to buy a pit.
Wow, that's awesome. And because it seems like I just saw something from Moberg that he's shipping some pits to, or building some right now for.
Yeah, I think he's building them a few pits for their Dallas location. They're opening a place up in Dallas.
But this is really exciting for you. And so you have 1,000, you have a 250, and you're probably that's probably pretty good for right now.
Yeah. So luckily the restaurant has a little bit of land on the side. So eventually we're probably going to build a bigger smokehouse. And then try to move in another 1,000 gallon in here to try to accommodate for the volume that we're trying to grow into.
people need to come out. Like this is exciting that that area has a really good barbecue spot now.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, they've had a couple that were on the top 50 lists in the past.
True, true.
Smoking and Rio Grande Grill and even Veras and stuff. And I think there's another place in Brownsville called 1848.
How far away is Brownsville?
Brownsville from Weslaco is about 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty close.
Yeah. Interesting about that place is that they cook on an Austin Smokeworks pit. So they were kind of like one of the first ones to like get like a commercial pit built by them.
Interesting.
So,
oh, I didn't know that.
And they still cook with oak and everything. So.
So now you just have to have Daniel stop by Teddy's now.
That's the hope. Yeah. I mean, I think somebody's already kind of reached out to him on Twitter and he said, you know, I need to get back down there. I think it's a region of the state that like is not known for barbecue. So that's why we came here. But hopefully the scene down here grows as the years go by.
That's awesome. Well, I'm excited and I can't wait to visit, and it's definitely worth the drive, and I could listen to podcast or music on the way there. It's like it's only five hours. 5 hours is nothing.
Yeah, 5 hours from Austin. I mean, there's a few stops you can make along the way. I could suggest going through San Antonio. If you're coming from Austin, go through San Antonio. You can stop in at 2M.
Of course.
Take 7 down and go to Butters. You know, they're on the top 25, Utah 25 list.
Yeah, and Andrew, looks like they're putting out great barbecue.
Yeah, man, they're doing great stuff. We were just there, I think, like a couple of months ago.
That's a good stop. That's a good little, then come to you guys.
Yeah, you can go to 2M, go to Butters, and then come down here, and you can hit up, you know, Smoking Moon, you can hit up Teddy's, you can go to South Padre, and then get some barbacoa on Sunday at Veras.
and then head over to New Orleans. How far away is that?
New Orleans, I want to say maybe about 12, maybe 14.
It's all when you're in Los Angeles, it's all so close.
Yeah.
when you're staring at a map, you know what I'll do is I'll Google map it when I I'll see it and I'll be like, I feel like a jackass. but I'm so glad that we finally got a chance to talk.
And I'm glad we connected. You know, finally.
Yeah, it's always been cool talking to you, but it's nice to physically see you. And have a great rest of your day, and say hey to your brother, and I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Joel.